till one day I was just crying out to God saying, man, how could something so wonderful all of a sudden just be the worst, from a genuine friend to a true enemy? The Holy Spirit said, so what do you remember? I said, well, I remember him betraying me. That's what I remember. And the Holy Spirit, it was almost like he said this, no, Wayne, how long was this friendship? I said, 5 years. And was it good? Yeah. This is what he said. Then you be thankful for a friendship that you enjoyed for 5 years.
Welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Have you ever noticed how often we forget the things that we should remember, and we remember the things we should forget? Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Remembering Well.
Well, we're going to prepare our hearts for communion, so would you take out your notes with me? I want to talk to you about something that I really need you to hear. I need you to catch, because it can actually transform your life. This lesson, and I'm praying that I'll be able to communicate it and articulate it well, but I pray that you'll catch it. And I want to speak about remembering well. Remembering well. If there's one word that sums up the whole Bible, it would be the word remember. Because to obey God, you've got to remember what he said. You can't just deny it or ignore it. Remember. In fact, that's the word that he gave to the Israelites who came out of Egypt. Remember, don't forget who you are. Don't forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. Israel's problem is they wouldn't remember. They just wouldn't remember. And when they did remember, they remembered so poorly. You see, they were in abject poverty and slavery in Egypt. The Pharaoh would be taking their sons and daughters for slaves and free labor, killing those at will, at whim. Any Israelites that the Pharaoh wanted to kill. They cried out to God with a desperate cry, and God raised up Moses to deliver them. Now watch this. In the middle of the desert, they said to Moses, grumbling, man, why did you bring us out here to die? I wish we were back in Egypt where we used to eat onions and leeks in abundance. And I thought, what? You didn't have nothing in abundance except suffering and pain. You don't remember when God tells you to remember. And when you do remember, you remember poorly. And I thought, oh, how important our memories are in helping us to become who God wants us to be. Elie Wiesel, in 1944, was a part of a Hungarian town called Sziget, where all of the Jewish people, and he was a Jew, were rounded up and taken to concentration camps to be annihilated. Well, Elie Wiesel survived the Holocaust, and now a famous novelist, 20 years later, returns back to his hometown in Hungary, Sziget. And you know what he finds? He finds not only a town that deported all of them, but he found that in this town that he was a part of, he grew up in, that they had obliterated any memory of Jewish people. Off of signs, off of home, the names, off out of books. They just eradicated the memory of the Jewish people because for fear of the Nazi regime, they had just cleared it away. And he writes in a book an interesting phrase, and he says this. He writes, I was not angry at the people of Sziget for having driven us out of their neighborhoods. If I was angry at all, it was because this town had forgotten us altogether. The Jews had not only been driven out of that town, they had been driven out of history and time and memory as well. I thought, wow. Memory, it's a precious commodity, and God uses it, but so does the enemy if we remember poorly. Because you see, if you think about it, the older you get, the more your life is made up of more and more until maybe the sum of all that you are, the sum of your memories, memories of past events, memories of friendships and relationships. And if they went poorly, you'll be afraid of new friendships. If things went bad and you were defeated, the memories of that defeat will continually defeat you and steal confidence. You become basically the sum total of not necessarily the events of your life, but the form those events take in your memory. How you remember them. Because you see, you can have two people and the same event will be remembered completely differently. So after a while, it's not the events of your past that make you who you are. It's the form that those events take in your memory. One person can be a prisoner of war, or two people be a prisoner of war during World War II or Korean War or whatever. One becomes a cynical, angry, resentful vet, and another can become a motivational, inspirational speaker that encourages people that whatever fate life throws at you, you can succeed. Two people go through an illness. One comes out blaming the doctors for not finding a cure sooner. Another goes back into the hospitals with a greater compassion for those who are suffering the same sickness. You think, well, wait a minute, same event, same occurrence, same happening. But you see, it's not the event that makes you who you are. It's the form that event takes up in your memory. And that's what makes us who we are. For example, remorse is a biting memory on the inside. Guilt is an accusing memory. Some things that you've done or were committed against you, and it's constantly accusing you, and you live like a kind of a guilty person. Discouragement comes from memories that defeat you and devalue you again and again, from something that you failed at. It's constantly you're hearing your dad's voice or this other person's voice or someone that demeans you. And the form that that memory takes in your life shapes your future and who you are. On the other hand, gratitude can be a joyful memory. Confidence comes from memories that remind you of your successes and how valuable you are. But on the other hand, resentment is a wounding memory, a memory that isn't healed yet. A memory that reaches into from the past and cuts you, slashes you again. In fact, the word resentment comes from a Latin word, resento or resento. The word sento is the word to cut or to slash. Re is again. And when you have an event that it takes up the form of one that's yet to be healed and still wounding, and you catalog it, archive it as that. Well, not the event. The form that event takes up in your memory. Every time that memory comes to your mind, it reaches and slashes you with the same pain. And you live under that torture the rest of your life because of that memory. I had a friend of mine in Bible college. I noticed some minor scars on her neck and face. And I asked her one day, how'd you get all those little scars? She said, oh, it was nothing. It was a time in my life. I said, no, tell me. She said, well, I was married to a guy that was really good, but when he drank, he became very angry and fierce. And one night he came home drunk, took out a kitchen knife and stabbed me 28 times, left me in a pool of blood on my bed to die. My neighbors that heard the screams. He is now serving time in prison, but she said, I spent nearly a year in the hospital getting healed up. And I said, oh, man, what a horrible memory. She said, oh, no. She said, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm studying to be a missionary so that I can reach people with the gospel and the good news. I said, no way. She said, yeah. I said, what do you think about your husband? Don't you hate him? She said, no. This is what she said. He took up about an hour of my life, and I will not give that another second. Because, see, if you remember it poorly, it wasn't an hour. It will become a lifetime of distress. You choose. And I thought, wow. And she said, oh, no. She said, there's more people that suffer much longer than I. That's why I'm here in Bible college, to be a missionary to go help them. I think, oh, my. That's amazing. You see, it's not the event. It's the form that we allow that event to take in our memories that will either encourage or debilitate us. And some of us are here, even in this place, listening to this message, and you have some memories in you that have been torturing you for far too long, debilitating and eating away your future. And you're wounded today because of some form that a memory has taken up in your life. You'll see husbands and wives that because they don't allow memories to take up a right form, a purified form, after a while, those that were just once young lovers and friends now become treacherous enemies and tied together in marriage. Why did that love turn to hate? Because of bad history that they have now stacked up all around their hearts. And that's why sometimes spouses will go out and have a sexual relationship with someone they don't know when that is available to them at home because they're married. You say, well, how come he's going to go out here to the prostitute or to this person over here? You know why? Because it's not sex. It's that person has no bad history with him. And then he wants intimacy with someone that there's no bad history with. You see how it destroys marriage? Memories that are poorly slotted and cataloged. And many of us are going to suffer from that. You say, well, Wayne, is there any help? Because I got some of those events that have been cataloged and they keep speaking at me and against me. Is there any help at all? I've got good news for you. The Bible not only promises help, it offers us a helper. And his name is Holy Spirit. Let's read at the top of our notes what his full-time assignment is in our lives. Let's read it. Go. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and what? And bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Would you underline, bring to your remembrance? He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. Would you write down in number one, the Holy Spirit's ministry is to help us to remember well. Did you know that God says, I will send you a helper? And his full-time ministry is one, he's going to be with you forever. He's going to teach you all things and let him bring back to remembrance. All that I've spoken to you, all that's happened into your life, let the memories of life, whether it be lessons that I speak to you through an event, through an occurrence, through an illness, you've got to make sure it comes through his office. Let him bring it back to remembrance, not your instinct or your anger or your discouragement. His full-time ministry is that he is the one who brings these things back to remembrance. It is his job. And if we do an end run on him, the memories will be cataloged poorly, but his job in our life is to bring back to remembrance. Who does that? The Holy Spirit. Let's read the next scripture here. Go. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you. How long? Forever. And he is the what? Spirit of awe. You see, his job is to filter the events and allow it to become cataloged as something that will breathe truth into your life, not deception, bring health and not debilitation, to bring fruit and not rot your future and toxify your life because of this memory that constantly comes to torture you. Who's the one that's to bring this back to remembrance? The Holy Spirit. That's his full-time ministry. Now, you can choose to do an end run on him because your instinct will be, yeah, but you don't know what he did to me. No. You let the Holy Spirit interpret that. You let him interpret it because he will purify, he will clarify, he will filter that memory before it's cataloged. You catalog it poorly and watch how you'll be tortured the rest of your life. But if you will let the Holy Spirit, and this is his job, if you will let the Holy Spirit interpret that event, and then catalog in the light of God's plan for your future, not to destroy your future. Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare in order that you might have a future and a hope. So God wants you to have a future and a hope. So the Holy Spirit, in light of God's will for your future, will take a look at the events, and no way is he going to let them be cataloged in a way that it eats away at your future. So he's going to purify and clarify and log them in such a way that when these memories come, you don't see it as someone taking your life. You'll see it as the Lord's grace and mercy. And look, I'm going to reach others because of that. And you think, you're kidding. Uh-huh. What did she do? She let the Holy Spirit bring that back to remembrance. She let the Holy Spirit do it. Otherwise, it would have ruined her. You're going to have a tendency to remember things poorly. Case in point, I had a friendship with a friend of mine some years ago that many of you know, I like motorcycles and I ride them a lot. And he was one too. We bought motorcycles together and we would ride almost every day. We'd have coffee during the week together. We would talk about things, share things about our families and our past. And we would take trips together. It's just a great, great, godly, good friendship. And it was just so refreshing. 5 years. I mean, it was just the best. But then something happened. And till this day, honestly, I'm not sure what went askew and what went sideways. But something went sideways and he began to speak against me in the church and the ministry. And then in a huff left the church, went to another one and began speaking against me to other people. And I thought, what happened? You know, what did I do? I'm smelling myself and my shoes. I'm looking for stuff on. I think, what is going on? It stinks. I could not figure out what's happening. It started to distract me. I couldn't think. People would always come up to me, hey, you know what he's saying now about you? And, oh, man, you're kidding. And it would cause me to, it would rob my sleep. I was diluted in ministry, distracted and discouraged. I just could not handle it. Till one day I was just crying out to God saying, man, how could something so wonderful all of a sudden just be the worst, from a genuine friend to a true enemy, to someone who was my brother to one who is now a betrayer? I said, God, this is terrible. I wish it would have never started. And then the Holy Spirit said, whoa, why are you interpreting that event? Because if you interpret and you catalog it, it's going to steal sleep from you the rest of your life. My job is to bring back to remembrance all the things of your life. Won't you let me do my job? So the Holy Spirit said, so what do you remember? I said, well, I remember him betraying me. That's what I remember. And the Holy Spirit, it was almost like he said this. No, Wayne, how long was this friendship? He said, 5 years. And was it good? Yeah, good. This is what he said. Then you be thankful for a friendship that you enjoyed for 5 years. You're going to have another season. He's going to have another season. And you'll go your different ways as I lead. And you'll have other friendships. But you will always remember and treasure that season as a gift to you from the Father above, that he brought a friend into your life for 5 years. Is that a treasure or what? You must always remember it that way, that it's a wonderful treasure, and you be thankful for that. Don't let one mishap disqualify everything that I have given to you as a gift. You remember the gift, and you let me filter it and catalog it correctly. And then I want you to keep your mind on that and remember it the way I instruct you to remember it, because I am the one who will bring back things to remembrance, not you. If you do, you remember it poorly. If I filter it, I'll purify it and will help your future, not debilitate it. And I tell you, I started thinking that way. And so when people would say, hey, do you know what so-and-so's saying about you? I said, you know, it doesn't matter. It was the best season of my life. I mean, we had, he said, what? You guys, you mean you were friends? Oh, yeah. 5 years, man, it was great. It was just, I will always treasure his friendship. What? You know what he's saying? No, I will always treasure his friendship. It was a wonderful season, and God has changed our seasons. He's gone one way, I've gone another way. But I will always treasure that season in my life as one of the best. Oh, okay. Someone else would say something negative. I said, oh, no, that was one of the best seasons of my life. It was a great season. It was a great friendship, a gift from God. And that's how I would respond again and again, and until like 6 or 7 years later, I guess it kind of got back to him that Wayne really treasures that friendship regardless. That one day I left service, went out that door, and he was standing there. He had flown over and come to just say, hey, I'm sorry, and I want us to be right again. And even though he's living in a different place, there was a redemption that took place. You understand? A healing. But where does redemption start? Way back here when you and I let the Holy Spirit filter and purify memories in such a way that we stay with the way he's teaching us to remember things and remember well. And then it gives God a chance to bring redemption. You know why a lot of times there's no redemption? Because we remember poorly. We remember poorly. Now, is there an instinct for me to go back the other way? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I want to say, yeah, I remember him. Idiot. I remember him. Punk. I remember you. No, the Holy Spirit's going to say, whoa, you'll have a tendency to go back that way, but you will not. You will remember well. Because if you start to catalog things poorly or you remember things poorly, it'll affect your life. That's why when you go to counseling, what do some counselors say from the initial part of this counseling session? You know what they'll say? Tell me about your youth, your upbringing. How do you remember your parents? Tell me your earliest memories of your childhood. Tell me your earliest memories of your schooling, your friends, events, experiences. You know what a counselor is trying to see? No, not the events of your life. How do you remember the events of your life? Do you remember them well or poorly? If you remember everything poorly, then no wonder you are like you are. No peace in your life. But if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to do the job that God has asked Him to do in your life as a helper forever, to help you to, so He can interpret events in the light of God's plan for your life and help you to catalog them, the form that they take in your memory, to do that well, it will change your life. It'll change your life. Now, you can interpret it the way you want to, or you can let Him filter it. My daughter, Amy, bought some property up in Oregon, and they have a well there that kind of isn't deep enough. And so it's got a huge mineral content to it. And so, man, when you drink it, I mean, you smell that thing. You drink it, all your hair falls out. Whew, it's just, man. And so they put in an elaborate filtering system with reverse osmosis and all kinds of microfilters. So there's just one faucet that you can drink water from the same well, and it's fine. It's fine. But if you take the other one, I mean, this, you can wash dishes with it and stuff, but you drink it, you know, you turn green and, you know, radioactive. So you got to choose. Now, it's pretty dumb to know that and choose this and all your hair falls out. No, you wouldn't make that choice. But yet we do that every day. The Holy Spirit says, I will bring it back to remembrance and I'll filter it so that it will be good for you. And we say, no, I remember Him as a punk. Then we go back this way and all our hair falls out. I'm not saying anything about some of you here. Just an illustration. So, but yet we make those poor choices. And the Lord is saying, no, no. Are you going to interpret the events of your life? Or are you going to let the Holy Spirit, whose full-time ministry is to do that for you? It's up to us. It's up to us. In fact, scientists say that we, mankind, uses just 4% of his brain. 4%, that's all we use. And I have some cousins, that's a stretch of the imagination, 4%. But 4%. Now, we who use 4% of our brain say we can interpret the events of our life, or the Holy Spirit, through whom God creates the universe and the molecular structure of every living thing and inanimate object as well, who created it in just a moment of time and spoke and there was light. He will interpret it for us, which, duh. But how many of us drink from this pipe and our hair falls out all the time? We wonder that why there's no peace in our life. And God says, no, I've given the Holy Spirit to you, whose full-time ministry is to bring back into remembrance all those things. Now, I think it's time for us to welcome the Holy Spirit to take His rightful place in our lives. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. And then He's going to instruct you. So would you write down in number two? Number two, ruthlessly obey. Now, ruthlessly obey and put into practice daily His instructions. Ruthlessly, because you're going to have a tendency to go back with your instincts. Well, you know what my dad did? You know what my mom did? No, your instincts are wrong. You go back and say, Holy Spirit, how shall I remember this? I was raised in a pretty bad background in that when I was 13 years old, because my parents had divorced and my dad had a new family and I was with this new family and we kind of didn't fit. 13 years old, I was on a bus with one suitcase to a boarding school 500 miles away. And that was it. And after that, I was on my own from 13 years old. And so all kinds of things went wrong, a lot of trial and error. And being from Palolo and having a lot of pigeon at that time, and the people in the mainland couldn't understand me. They'd make fun of me and call me names because I didn't look like other people there. You know, I could today just say, you know, the reason I am like I am is because them, my parents, and it's the kind of at Palolo school. Yeah, you can blame whatever. Or you can let the Holy Spirit say, no, let me interpret that in the light of God's plan for your future, and I will put those memories in such a way that it will not debilitate you, but actually help you. I will allow you to have been on the street at 13 so that you'll have a whole lot more compassion to those who are helpless. Instead of looking down on people, you'll see through them and their potential. And when no one believed in you, now you don't get to do the same with others. Believe in their potential, even though they come from horrible backgrounds. Because I may have placed a gem in every single one of them, and I want you to release those dreams. I want you to bring those gems out. And you see, you can interpret it yourself and it becomes a torturing memory, or you can say, Holy Spirit, I need you to interpret my past in such a way that it's in the light of God's plan for me and I can use it so to bear fruit. And the Holy Spirit says, wonderful, I'll do that because that's my job.
You have just heard a message entitled Remembering Well by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.